life in the land of the ice and snow. My name is Heather, and I'm here today with Burak from Turkey.
Yes.
Yeah, so what part of Turkey?
I was born and raised in Istanbul. Yeah, that's northwest part of Turkey.
Yes, right. I visited there about a decade ago, and I found it so fascinating. I had never researched it before, and just to realize that it's a city on two continents.
Yeah, I think it's unique in that way. I don't know many cities who sits on both.
No, and I remember we were staying on the European side, and we had to take a boat ride just for one day to go eat lunch so I could say I have officially been to Asia.
I don't think most people are noticing that, really. When we leave there, it's just the other side. You call it the other side.
Yeah, I guess you don't think about it when you live there.
No,
but for me,
really.
It was like, wow. Well, it's very nice to meet you. And thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. So how long have you been in Stockholm and what brought you here? It's a little bit colder, I think, than in
it
Istanbul.
Not always. Sometimes Istanbul seems to be colder. You never know.
Could be, yeah.
But I came here in 2010. That is 15 years ago, almost. So my official reason for coming to Sweden was a master's program at KTH, the Royal Institute of Technology. But I always say, like, I didn't really come to Sweden. I left Turkey, rather. So it was more a search of leaving the country. And then it was just an option. Sweden was just an option there among many other options.
What were you going for with your master's?
That was sustainable tech, industrial ecology. In a way, trying to mimic how the nature deals with materials and energy and put it on an industrial context, trying to close the loops so that we are more circular and all of that. Like, basically, this is when it was quite peaking at the time, 2010.
Yes, definitely. And it kind of seems like Sweden is a good choice for those kind of studies. So I was going to ask, when you say that you were basically just trying to go somewhere besides Turkey, I mean, I can relate to that. I also didn't feel quite at home and I wanted to go explore and see other places. And what made you, out of all your choices, choose Sweden if you could have gone somewhere else? But I do understand that it is a good place for what you were studying.
Actually, I didn't have any idea about Sweden at that time. So let me put it a bit more into context, how this choice making happened at the time. So I was studying engineering in college, almost the same name in Turkey, another technical school in Turkey, a bit like how KTH is Sweden. Mm-hmm. The school I studied there was also the same thing to Turkey, historically as well, like a very old one and, Imperial School of Engineering in the original version. So what happened was that I was not a great student in engineering. I always ended up doing other things. I was more social, like I was sitting in the student board. I was active in other things. I didn't have much interest in engineering, to be honest. So what happened in the end is that I didn't have a great GPA, and I thought no university in the world would accept me if I would go for a master's degree, because it took me time to finish my bachelor's, and obviously my engineering scores were not so good, whereas my social grades were acing like really high. So in the end, I kind of applied to so many places. And then what happened was that, and I write a letter, and in that letter, you can also make it more personal. It wasn't just about grades anymore. It was more about writing a motivation, right? And I can say I was good at words. So I could write a good letter, and I also got help from others as well. So in the end, I got accepted from all places. Suddenly I had, I don't know, 20 options in my Excel sheet, as an engineer will do. What happened in the end was that I had shortlisted three pieces. Like, I would either go to, I think, Italy, Germany, or Sweden. And at that point in time, I had traveled across Europe many times. Like, I had very close feelings towards France, towards Netherlands. I really felt like dreaming. I dreamt about living in Paris, or I don't know, in Berlin. These were the places that I really wanted to, root my life. But in the end, I couldn't make a decision. I'm like, okay, where am I going here? I took it to a professor of mine, my favorite professor in college, who I could trust. And I told her, hey, I can't make a decision. You do it for me. She looked at the list. She looked at Italy. It was going to be Politecnico di Milano. And she said, you know what? Half your classmates from Istanbul, they're going to be there. It's not going to be like you're somewhere else. And then she looked at Berlin Technique and she said, maybe not. And also she knows I'm not so much into tech and this program was more techie. And then she said, well, go to Sweden. They speak good English.
That's true.
So that's how it happened. And I had no idea about Sweden when I arrived. As I said, I had a lot of historical or like through literature, through cinema and music. I was really feeling a lot of fond feelings towards France. But Sweden was complete unknown to me. But I ended up here in the end.
Did you do any research before you came? You understood you were going to have like 6 months in the darkness and those kind of things.
Those were not the more... For me, I think what I did was the way I graded and ranked these options was through more about values, like work and life values. And of course, how I could continue my life in terms of, am I going to have a good balance with work? Am I going to earn enough so that I don't have to worry? You know, Italy can be exciting. Paris can be exciting. Berlin at that time was very exciting. But it seemed like it wasn't so aligned for the longer continuation after the program. So I was looking at it more as a life vision rather than just a program.
You must be out of school now, finished your master's.
Yeah, I went out of school. I went back to school, another school. So over the years, what's the question?
Well, two things. One, I'd like to hear a little bit about what you thought about Kotiho, because it is, very popular place to go. A lot of people end up there or are looking to go there. And number two, did this have an impact on what you ended up doing later? Because a lot of us think we're going for one thing and then we move to this country and end up doing something completely different.
Yeah, let me start with the second question.
Okay.
So I didn't do anything except my master thesis. I haven't done anything with what I studied. But it doesn't make it in vain, right? It still was a good entrance to the research and to the academical work and deepening my, understanding of how things work here as well. So it was a good entry point for sure. And Kotiho is an excellent school. I really enjoyed my time there. It wasn't too long, as I said, because after only 1 year, I started to work, which was not relevant, which was not related to what I studied so much. But I can still say, having all the analytical skills, having all that, the experience of solving a problem or approaching a challenge, it's still helpful. It's always transferable skills. I wouldn't say...
Oh, of course, yes.
We always make choices, and then what we happen to be today in the end is a result of all those choices, right? Choice is not the right word, but what we do in the end takes us here.
So what is it that you do now?
So my career has been completely nonlinear, like... It will take another hour if I will tell you everything.
Okay, we'll do the
shortest
version
is that I weave together a lot of experiences from, marketing management, design strategy, and organizational development somehow in and out. And today, I work as a service and business designer in a fashion retail company, global fashion retail company. My work centers around creating space for people, for individuals and teams to have a meaningful dialogue and to kind of co-create the change together and also be curious and navigate complexity in the way of working, but also in the organizational questions, in the strategy and everything. So I'm a facilitator and I'm a service business designer in that way. That's what I do in my formal full-time job during the day. And beyond this role, I have my coaching business, which I call embodied coaching, embodiment-focused coaching. And this is rooted in meditation and somatic awareness and inquiry. So I offer sessions, one-to-one sessions, and also sometimes workshops as well.
That's very interesting. How did you get into that?
Well, it wasn't the one moment of getting into it. It just happened very naturally over many, many years. So I've been interested in meditation and yoga since almost I arrived in Sweden. So I've been in this for many, many, many years. And then over the years, I got curious about other things, and I've been very lucky to meet great teachers along the way. So I've been learning and practicing and studying, and wouldn't call it teaching, but facilitating this in different capacities. Most of the time, more as a hobby, but now coaching is my side business. I do this when I don't work outside working hours.
That's wonderful. So you say that you met a lot of people in this. How did you come to meet people once you moved here? Was it a lot through school? Was it through interests like meditation and yoga? And
different times, different channels, I would say. I don't think I had ever a strategy for it, really. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, it was obviously through school, right? I mean,
right.
If you live in a student campus like I did, I lived in Lapis for a while. That's where you meet a lot of people. You cook together, you go out together, you have fun together, you play together, you do all these things together. So you build relationships. And then once school was over, I realized a lot of people who come to Sweden, they are quite mobile. Not many of them stayed in Sweden afterwards. Many of them moved to other places. But after that, it was some from work, but some also, as you said, the like-minded communities. Mm-hmm. It could be anything. I mean, I wouldn't want to name one thing, but I can say there's a lot of communities. If you were curious about watching birds behind trees, you would find people who like watching birds behind trees. So there's all these options.
I think a lot of times on the podcast, a lot of people have trouble meeting people and forming friendships, and a lot of people find it difficult to make friends with other Swedish people. Mm-hmm. I always like to say, yeah, it was also my goal at first to befriend Swedish people, and no, I'm not going to hang out with other Americans or things. Mm-hmm. I want to be very Swedish, and I think I had to come around to, yeah, you can't force it. You end up seeing who you have things in common with, and of course, I had more in common with other immigrants when I first got here. But then you meet people through people. And so I was just wondering, you know, for other people, what kind of channels you go to? Do you find like-minded groups on the internet, or do you find this through people you meet?
Good question. I never thought about it that way. Let me take a step back. I think I don't have any goal orientation. Like, I don't really look around and try to meet. After 15 years, maybe this is also different for me. But even then, I think having an expectation or trying to force something, an agenda, doesn't usually help. At least it didn't help for me. It
takes a while to realize it sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So in that way, I don't remember. I mean, I have a lot of people from Turkey around me. I have a lot of people from other countries, but I also have a lot of very close friends from Sweden. I guess internet is one way, but it's not like I would start chatting with someone on internet. It's more you find an event, for example, you go and you meet people. And I think one thing that also was different for me, that made a change for me, was that so in the first 4 years when I moved to Sweden, the first 4 years of my time here, I had a French girlfriend, long distance relationship, and that kind of affected my presence to be here and in the place, in this where I am, right? I was traveling quite often, and when she would come to Sweden, we would spend time only together, not so much opening, even though we did, when you meet once a month, or you don't want to spend that time with so many other people, right? But after that relationship, I think as I got to know other people, as I related to other, to Swedish women here, or through them to other friends, I think that made a difference, maybe. That's maybe one thing that I can pinpoint that was effective. Not that I chose or not that I planned it. It's just, it just, when I look at it retrospectively in hindsight, I can see that that made a change for me. And I think curiosity is maybe the key. I guess it's more about like getting curious. What I often hear in the expat community is that when two expats meet, they spend most of their time complaining about how it is difficult to meet people in Sweden. And I don't think that makes it very interesting. It's not such an interesting topic to put energy on, you know? Of course it has its difficulties. Of course every culture and every geography has its own unique qualities. Some places are more reserved, some people are more open. But after 15 years, I would say I really like it here. I like traveling south here and then, but I really find myself quite aligned with the way life is approached here, with the what people would call reserved. I actually like that. Everyone minds their own business. I live also in a place which is also quite, I don't want to say busy, but it's like it's easy to connect with others. I don't know if you live in Stockholm. Do you?
I live right outside in the suburbs.
Yeah. So since I moved to Sweden, I've only lived in the city center.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. And I also spend a lot of time in nature with communities, with groups of people. But my main home base has always been in the city center. I live in Södermalm. Near Nytorget, which makes it quite easy to meet my friends and to be in places. I walk out and I take a walk with a friend. I come home. It's not a long planned decision. It's usually very spontaneous.
That's really nice. It's to be honest, it's a goal of mine to eventually move in the city because of that. So I think for a lot of people, we were talking about the housing problem, and it's not always easy to get a place in town. And then you end up out in the suburbs, and then you're reliant on subway. Sometimes you don't even have that choice. It's reliant on buses. And then if you're not a person who's very extroverted or really wants to go out and do stuff, you find yourself making a lot of excuses, especially in the winter, like, oh, it's going to take me.
For sure.
30
for sure.
minutes, I'm going to have to switch buses. So anybody who can get right in the action, it's a plus.
Also, I really appreciate the nature around me. So when I get outside the door, regardless of which direction I go, I end up either in a body of water or in some sort of green space within a few minutes. It doesn't take long.
I agree. It's very nice about this area.
So I really appreciate this mix of city, not really city, I would say more neighborhood vibe.
Right.
It's actually quite a leafy, like quiet corner where I live. So it's nice.
So what have you noticed, especially when you first arrived, that you noticed culturally was kind of struck you, whether it was crazy or you figured it out later?
So my family is also an immigrant family. So they moved from Southeast Turkey to Istanbul in the 70s, 80s, when there was a big influx, internal immigration within Turkey. So I grew up with that notion that there's always where you came from and where you are right now. But I grew up in a neighborhood that is almost identical to Södermalm. I mean, I can't even compare. It's almost the same. Everything is the same. The same culture, the same kind of lifestyle, the same kind of political position. All of these things are quite similar. Very open, very progressive. The part of Istanbul I came from, it's known for that. It's like, you know, you could also say it's a bit more hipster space as well, but it doesn't have to be like that. It is quite open historically as well. It's always been so.
For anyone who doesn't live in Stockholm who's listening, Södermalm is kind of known as the hipster part.
Yeah, it is. Historically, it's also used to be a working class area.
That's
so
right.
It's always been a little bit more low-key and, you know, down to earth, right?
Right.
And then I'm not saying I spend my whole lifetime here. I do get out a lot. I like Östermalm as well. I like Kungsholmen or other parts of the city, and also all these green areas outside the city as well. So the reason why I said this is that I think the gap that my parents, my grandparents and my parents had when they moved from that place to Istanbul was much, much, much bigger than the gap I have, the difference I have from moving to that part of Istanbul to Stockholm or Södermalm. It's like, it's almost so familiar that it you know how to be, you know how to do, you know how to behave. It's not such a huge rigidity around that for
That's
me.
It's very interesting that moving, you know, within Turkey, though it was many decades ago, wouldn't be more difficult than moving to a completely different country.
But think of it like that. You're from the US, right?
Right, yeah.
So think of it like that. How would it be for someone moving from the center of America, United States, compared to someone moving from Palo Alto or from San Francisco to Sweden, to Stockholm?
It's a good
point. Not the same. It's quite different.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think countries are so homogeneous. Cities are not homogeneous. So in a way, I can see the resonance and I can see the how parallel these places are still today. Yeah, so in that way, I would say, there were a lot of things probably. I can't remember so many, but there are things probably I struggled, many things.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a delusion to say there wasn't. But I can say that compared to my ancestors, this was peanuts. This was like a piece of cake. Yeah.
What about the language?
Well, the language is still not covered today. I do understand a good amount of Swedish, and I speak when I really have to. But I can't say I use it by default. I grew up with the English language at school and in work life. That's the only thing I've been working and learning in. So most of my life has been through expressing myself in English. Even in Turkey, I mean, from the age of 10, I was in a special kind of school where you were not really allowed to speak Turkish in the beginning, two, three years. If you did, you would have to put money in a money box as a fine. It was so strict.
It's a good motivator.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So we were speaking English full time in this first year, and then even more in the following years. We studied maths in English and all of that in English. So in that way, English feels so much like a home to me. This is where I express myself fully. Mm-hmm. And of course, Turkish, I love Turkish language, but English has been my home, how I interacted with others, how I learned things, how I kind of built my understanding of life. So moving from that to Swedish, I think I haven't been vulnerable enough to break the level of pride that I needed to kind of get humble. So when I speak English, I speak as me. When I switch to Swedish, I feel quite a lot of vulnerability there. I sound a bit like a 5-year-old.
That's how I feel. I often say that I sound like a caveman when I try to speak Swedish because I'm missing certain parts of the grammar. People can understand me, but I don't sound the way that I sound normally in English. It's like my husband in Swedish, his English is excellent, but he always tells me, gosh, I wish you understood how good I am at Swedish. It's so much better than my English. So I get that feeling completely.
But I think it's just an excuse in the end. I haven't been prioritizing it. I tried a couple of times, but then I need a bit more focus and more kind of action to that. I take ownership in that part. It's nobody's fault. I've been given a lot of opportunities for that, but I haven't followed up, I would say.
Sadly for us, it's kind of hard to focus on it when you know you can fall back on the English if you need
it. Exactly. I know Americans who've been here for 30 years, and I'm afraid I might be on the way to that. When it's a one-to-one conversation, it's much easier because the other person can adapt their pace as well. But when it's a group, especially if it's a training where there's things expressed in a very deep level, then I kind of lose it.
Of course. Yeah. I have trouble if, say, you're at a dinner table and I can understand everyone just fine in Swedish. But if there's two conversations going at the same time, then I completely shut off. I don't think I can handle that. Well, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I was wondering if maybe you had a few tips.
A tip, I mean, not an advice, but a tip would be to get out of the city as much as you can, especially in winter, and go to the nature.
What nature areas would you recommend, especially in the winter?
There are so many of them. Like anywhere you go, you will see a green space. But for example, Bergianska is really nice. Not far from the city, near the university, Stockholm University.
Right, they have an indoor
cafe as well. There's a little bit of a botanical garden, and there's an indoor garden as well. So there's a lot to explore there. Vinterviken is really nice.
I like that one too, yes.
Yeah. Hellasgården. I mean, they're all out there. There's plenty. Turesta National Park, for example. Maybe a bigger trip, like maybe a full day trip. But these other things, you can go for a couple of hours, and you can just walk around the lake and... I think this is where I feel most connected with this country, especially, as I said, when it's winter, and that's when I really feel connected to this soil, the land and everything. It's really nice. Ah, and I'm saying this as someone who lives in the city and works in the city.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And Värmland is also very beautiful. If you do want to get out of Stockholm, I've been commuting to Värmland for a community there where there's been a lot of festivals, retreats, like courses. There are a couple of communities there. So Värmland is sort of, if someone asks me, where are you from? And if I would say some place from Sweden, I would say Värmland is my kind of where I feel really at home. I really love Värmland.
But why exactly is that?
Well, I started going there for Engsbacka, a community course and festival center, where you can get different kinds of festivals and courses and retreats. Mm-hmm. In yoga, meditation, dance, tantra, there's all sorts of things you can find. But there's also a volunteer community who lives there full time, but also a extended community who lives in the village of Molkom. So it's a living, alive community. Especially in summer, the population becomes much more. The festivals can take as many as 1,000, 1,500 people. Uh-huh. So that's where I started going. And then my ex-girlfriend, she also has her own kind of retreats in another place, not far from Engsbacka. So I start to go there a lot as well over the years. And I have a lot of heart connection to both of these places. I really love the green and the lakes. And Värmland is really where it gets really like nature.
All right. I have to go explore it more.
And it's very easy to also to kind of meet people also in such spaces, because it's, I'm not saying that you can just go around and talk with people like that, but it's very open in terms of both getting to know yourself, but also getting to know others.
I would imagine that with events and retreats, and it's probably a very, very good tip for people to meet other people.
Yeah, only if you're curious about it, of course. It's not like, it's not with an agenda of meeting others. That's, that wouldn't work, I guess.
But it's a nice bonus.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
To chat. And it's been so nice to meet you.
Likewise.